I have been reflecting this week on Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who, as you know, died last Sunday. He was one of the great prophets of our age, one who saw through the way things are to how things should be. He worked for justice and reconciliation and forgiveness. On the flip side, he didn't hesitate to call out those who had fallen into corruption and those who were oppressing other human beings. Most of all, I think he called us to see the image of God in all people. I met Bishop Tutu once, very briefly. Met is maybe a bit of an overstatement. It might be more accurate to say I was near Bishop Tutu. But still, it's one of my favorite memories. When I was in seminary, we would have chapel services every morning, sort of like we do now with morning prayer on Zoom. Sometimes random visitors would join us, like bishops who were visiting their students, or guest professors, or the occasional undergrad who would trek up the hill to pray with us. So it wasn't out of the ordinary one morning when I arrived just at the last moment and slipped into a pew at the back, and there was a short dude in a tracksuit sitting in front of me. I just assumed he was another visitor who had joined us for chapel. At the end of the service, the professor who was leading that day turned to our visitor and said, "Bishop Tutu, it would be an honor if you would bless us." At that moment, my eyes sprung open and I barely kept myself from bursting out loud, "Holy!" Many pictures of Desmond Tutu have been traveling around the internet this week. And they're remarkable in the sense that in so many of the photos, he's grinning or laughing or dancing. And perhaps one of the reasons people admire him so much, aside from his fight against evil and dehumanizing political forces, is that he embodied this real infectious joy. That even though he faced significant opposition, even though he had witnessed a lot of pain and suffering, even to the point of imprisonment, he could still be a person of deep joy. The journalist Giles Fraser wrote about Archbishop Tutu this week. He writes, Rowan Williams, who's the former Archbishop of Canterbury, wrote after meeting Tutu, "There are two kinds of egoists in the world. There are egoists who are so in love with themselves that they have no room for anyone else. And there are those egoists who are so in love with themselves that they make it possible for everybody else to be in love with themselves." Tutu was the second sort of egoist. Desmond Tutu loved being Desmond Tutu, but in such a way that he encouraged other people to believe that they could also be in love with who they are and take joy in it. He continues, "But this theology of the person is in no sense individualistic. Perhaps the most important contribution that African Christianity has made to Christianity has been through the development of the idea of Ubuntu, the idea that I am because we are. We are not individual cells of separate godliness, but through God's presence within us all, we are all brothers and sisters. And in order to be fully what God intended, we have to be reconciled with those from whom we have become estranged. Forgiveness was not some sentimental, touchy-feely emotional weakness, but a tough-minded determination to recognize our own humanity as inescapably bound up with others. Confessing past wrongs with the hope of some sort of reconciliation was a way of putting the pieces of the self back together." The kind of joy written across Desmond Tutu's life comes from that ability to see the other person as a sibling, and more than that, as someone who shows the face of God. Joy is not being happy. It's the decision to rejoice and see what God is doing. Joy saturates our first reading today, and it comes from a time when God's people have fallen into idolatry, and it spans the period of time where they're being torn away from their homes and exiled in a foreign land. Jeremiah himself had a really hard life as a prophet. He feels driven to speak God's words, but that gets him in a lot of trouble because his is not a happy message. He's hated and persecuted and harassed. He's forced to flee. He gets thrown into a cistern full of mud and then imprisoned. He picks up the name the Weeping Prophet because his proclamation is just so harsh. And yet in this passage that we read today as our first reading, Jeremiah looks ahead to the day that God's people will be restored, and his words are full of joy. He paints a picture of God drawing back this great scattered company from the ends of the earth. And when God gathers them, God also feeds them and restores them and reconciles them. It's a picture of God's people being healed. And for those who live through that long-awaited miracle, their response is uncontainable joy. Joy that they express with singing and shouts and weeping and gladness and praise. I love the line that says, "The returning captives will be radiant over the goodness of the Lord." It's that the joy of the healing of God is sort of pouring out of their skin. They're finally seeing the fulfillment of all that God has promised and the things that they've been waiting for centuries. The word for joy in the Bible is overwhelmingly tied to praise of God. Joy is a response to what God is doing. And what God is doing is reconciliation. I may have told this story before. If I have, bear with me. But when I was in South Africa a few years ago, I was floored by how easily the people there said, "I forgive you." Even if someone did something small, "I forgive you." In the same place in a conversation where we might say, "Oh, it's okay, don't worry about it," they said, "I forgive you." "Don't worry about it" can dismiss, but "I forgive you" acknowledges that there's something that needs repair, that something needs healing, and that I am willing to cross that divide for you. I think that much of that habit of forgiveness comes through the work of Bishop Tutu and others like him. Yes, because they were committed to justice, but also for a greater and more profound reason, that it's a small reflection of the healing that God is doing. And that as much as we weep over the pain in the world, and as much as we long and work for unity and peace, how much more God is already answering our prayers and already drawing all things together in Christ. Joy is a response to something God is doing outside us and within us. Galatians calls joy a fruit of the Spirit, something that doesn't come from ourselves or our circumstances, but as a gift and a response to what God is doing. Which is why joy is such a fitting partner for the work of reconciliation to which Desmond Tutu dedicated much of his life. His work reflected something much bigger. It was only a small part of the great healing that God is even now bringing about. Joy and reconciliation are tied together. They both point to the ongoing work of God to bring forgiveness, healing, reconciliation, and truth. They both spring from the same source, from God bringing together what has been broken. They both restore the scattered pieces of ourselves. And that's where we're headed as well. All things knit together and restored in Christ. Amen.